Welcome to episode 1 of Practical Defense, the throwaway wallet. Welcome to our very first episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. To kick off this series, I'll spend a little time introducing my background, what I hope to achieve with the show, and what the show is not. After that, we'll get into our first topic. I consider myself a traditional martial artist with a blessed training experience. I started my martial studies as a child in American Kempo under the tutelage of Grandmaster Larry Tatum and Senior Grandmaster Ed Parker's West Los Angeles studio. I spent a number of years studying general martial arts under Master Bill Green. This was seriously old school training where there was no name style, no ranks, and no awards. We just trained. I also spent just over 4 years training in Hapkido under Grandmaster Bong Soo Han in his Santa Monica studio. And I had the pleasure of studying under Jim Wagner, and am a certified instructor in his reality-based personal protection system. Today, I continue to train and teach American Kempo under Master Muhammad Tabatabai in his Woodland Hills, California studio. Despite my background, this show is not about traditional martial arts. There are several great podcasts on traditional martial arts, including Karate Cast and Karate Cafe, and I recommend checking them out. What I'll cover here is everyday practical methods of keeping yourself safe, hence the title, Practical Defense. These are things I teach my mother, my wife, my sisters, and my friends to make them more aware of potential threats and hopefully avoid traps in their daily activities. No martial arts experience is necessary to implement any of these safety tips. From time to time, I'll also interview real people who've experienced real crimes and attacks. From hearing of their experiences, we can hopefully glean an understanding of where similar threats to us might arise. In addition, I'll interview people who've dealt with violent criminals as part of their daily jobs. These people are our police officers, corrections officers, and even a resident psychiatrist at a California state prison. Understanding the criminal mind and what they look for in a victim can help us avoid taking on those characteristics and being selected as a target. Finally, I'll keep these episodes short and easy to listen to and absorb. My hope is that by listening to this series and incorporating these new habits into your daily activity, you'll make yourself safer and perhaps you might even pass these on to your own students. This podcast is about protecting people, directly or indirectly. So, on to our first topic. The subject of our initial episode is the throwaway wallet. I was first introduced to this idea by Jim Wagner. You can read his article on this very subject in the August 2006 issue of Black Belt Magazine. And the premise is simple. Carry a second wallet filled with misleading items that you hand over to a mugger. I know it may sound like a major inconvenience, but take a moment to think about what you carry in your wallet. You can carry a driver's license, credit cards, cash, membership cards, driver's insurance, health insurance, receipts, and pictures of your family and kids. Now that's a whole lot of data about you. That's your name, your address, your driver's license number, your credit card numbers, and pictures of your family. All that is tied to your potential monetary value based on the cash on hand, the type and number of credit cards you own, your recent purchases and their costs, the year, make, and model of the car you drive from your car insurance slip, and your neighborhood. Now this criminal who's just held you up at gun or knife point or picked your pocket has a lot of your personal information and your home address. Can you see where this is going? In today's high-tech world, you might be thinking identity theft. But that takes sophistication, and the average thug on the street might not have the capability to fully utilize the information, so he might sell it to someone who can, or just toss the junk into the nearest storm drain. Hope for the storm drain. The worst possible situation is if this thug decides you're a soft target with lots of nice things that he could sell quickly for a decent profit. So, when you're away at work, or at worst, while you're at home sleeping, he breaks in and also burglarizes your home. Now this is not as far-fetched as it may sound, and unfortunately, it does happen, and I have first-hand experience with this exact type of crime. When I was 10 years old, my father was working in downtown Los Angeles, and one night while he was loading books into the back of his car, he was cold-cocked and robbed. He was found unconscious, dangling from his truck with no knowledge of who hit him or what direction they had come from, and his wallet was missing. My father carried all the normal stuff common to a man's wallet, you know, stuff that I listed earlier. This included a receipt for a family trip to Palm Springs in just a few weeks. So, while we were off vacationing, the thieves knew they would have an empty house and they took their time. They drugged our dogs, backed up a moving truck, emptied the house, and stole my mother's car. Then, to destroy any evidence, they set fire to our home and burned it to the ground. When we returned home, we learned we had nothing but the clothes on our backs, and we spent the summer living with relatives. There was no insurance because we lived in a designated fire hazard area, and there was an annual threat of brush fires, so it was impossible to get fire protection. Now, the laws have since changed, and insurance has to be made available to people living in that area, but it was put into effect long after it was good for us. My mom's car was recovered from Mexico about 4 months later, but the criminals were never caught. Well, would a throwaway wallet have saved my family a lot of grief? Since my father was knocked unconscious, the mugger had a lot of time to rifle through his pockets, so it's doubtful. However, in a direct confrontation, that's exactly what it would do. So how do you build a throwaway wallet? Well, first, it must be convincing. So use an old wallet, something that's already been carried and already broken in. If you don't have an old wallet lying around, check out eBay or Amazon.com for used wallets. You can probably find something there pretty cheaply. Or you might check out a local garage sale or yard sale. Next, it must contain convincing items and some real money. So stock it with items such as pictures of other people's kids that you don't know. And you can download some pictures off the internet. Some good sites are Flickr.com and Images.google.com. You can also, when you buy a new wallet, they sometimes come with pictures in them, and you can just, you know, save those. It needs to be stocked with cash, and this is real money. It's not Monopoly money. Real money. So, and it should also include about $35, at least $35. So, stock it with a 20, a 5, a 10, maybe some ones. And you really don't want to be cheap here. If it doesn't have enough, it could aggravate them, and you might make things worse. You want to stock it with receipts with no material traceable to you. Now, these are receipts from places that you've traveled to. These are places that are not from your hometown, so that they can't be traced back to you. And you want to throw in some sample credit cards. And guess what? You finally have a use for all those pre-approved credit cards that you get in the mail. So put those sample cards, you know, the ones that have your name printed here on them, put those into your throwaway wallet. And you also might want to throw in some business cards from random places that you've been to. And again, these should not be from your hometown. The goal here is to make the wallet look legitimate at a quick glance. Your robber is not going to take the time to carefully examine everything. He just wants your wallet, a quick check for cash, and he's out of there. Give him what he wants and let him be on his way. It's safer for everyone involved. He gets a little cash, you keep your personal information protected, and everyone walks away unharmed. An alternative to the wallet is using a money clip. These can be newer, and when properly packed, can be nearly as good as a wallet. And women have a different problem in that they most often carry purses. Now, when a criminal demands property from a woman, they generally demand the entire purse, rather than just a wallet or money. So for women, it's far more inconvenient to carry a throwaway item. This isn't even considering that a woman's outfits generally aren't really cut for pocket use. So, one solution is to make the entire purse the throwaway item. So, women can carry their cash, credit cards, and ID in a man's type wallet, or money clip, and then store all the miscellaneous goods and carry-all items in the purse. And another thing is not to carry your keys, house, or car in your purse. So, if they get your purse and your wallet, they literally have the keys to the castle, not just the address. In summary, you want to build a convincing throwaway wallet. You want to stock it with items that have no material traceable to you. You want to put some money and fake credit cards in there. And you want to keep it separate from your real wallet. So carry your real wallet in one pocket and put the false wallet in another, so that you're forever held up, and I really hope you're not, give them the false wallet. Shifting gears a bit before we close, I wanted to mention something about your local police departments. Some local police departments offer crime statistics and reports to citizens living in their areas. Often, these contain short summaries of assaults, burglaries, robberies, car thefts, and things like that. They're delivered by email on a weekly or monthly basis. And personally, I sign up for them in every neighborhood that I live in. Here's an example report of a robbery of a lone woman by a man and a woman from one of these reports. So the victim, a woman, was walking home from a 7-Eleven store when she observed two people standing in the alley. When she got closer, suspect one produced a handgun and stated, "Give me all your stuff." The victim, fearing for her life, allowed suspect two to remove her purse. The suspects then demanded more property, and she turned over her cell phone. These reports often include cross streets, descriptions of the suspects, and the directions that they ran off in if they're available. I won't include that type of detail here unless it's applicable to my point, such as the fact that it was a man and a woman robbing a lone woman. And it's important because often when we think of robberies, we think about it being committed by a lone man or a group of men. But as we see here, that isn't always the case. I'll be pulling examples from these types of reports often in future episodes. So the website of your local police department can be a wealth of information on the crime in your neighborhood, from the types of crimes to the streets that they most often occur on. And I highly recommend checking yours out and signing up for their free email summaries if they're available. In closing, I'll make this episode available on my website in an article form with pictures and examples of throwaway wallets and money clips. Be certain to stop by and check it out. The URL is alexhaddix.com. That's alexhaddix.com. And click on the articles link. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.